Well, good morning again. How's everybody doing today? Good. Good to have this fresh, cool wind blowing through our state. And I hope that it's just a reflection of what God wants to do, to blow His fresh breath on us and let us just breathe it in. Amen. We're continuing, getting close to the end of our series on Through His Eyes. And today we're going to be talking about generous eyes. You know God has generous eyes? He has generous eyes. He looks at us with generous eyes. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. We're going to begin there. But there's something, as you do that, there's something I want you to understand today. Generous eyes see beyond the external. Generous eyes see beyond the external, what's visible. Generous eyes see beyond the external to the eternal. To the eternal. To the eternal things. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Jesus says, whatever you do to others, you do to Him. If you help someone, you help Him. If you ignore someone, you ignore Him. If you show compassion to someone, you show compassion to Him. If you're generous to others, you're being generous to Him. Now, just like those in this passage, most of the time, we don't think of it like that, do we? But Jesus does. You know, we've talked a couple of times in this series, and then last week especially, about the story that we camped on last week of the Good Samaritan. And it's easy to trash the priest and the Levite for looking at the guy who had been beaten up and mugged, left for dead, but went on by. It's easy to trash them. But I wonder how many times we do that every day in our lives. Now, it may not be somebody that's been beaten and mugged and left for dead, but it might be somebody at work. It might be somebody at school. It might be somebody on the street or in the grocery store or at the ball field, anywhere. And we just kind of look at them and walk by, unconcerned. Jesus says, whatever you do to others, however you treat others, you're treating Him the same way. Turn a little forward to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. Are you with me?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he, Jesus, said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." There's two critical words in these passages. The first is desire. Whoever desires to come after me. See, if a person must desire to follow Jesus. And when the desire is there, the focus is there as well. You see, when I'm focused on Jesus, I make right decisions. Now, there's another word in that passage that most Christians struggle with. Anybody know what it is? Nobody want to admit it? All right, I'll give it to you. Deny. Especially when we put the word self with it. Deny self. There's that word, the one thing that too many Christians struggle with. Deny self. And we do. If we're honest, we struggle with that. Because who wants to deny yourself? I mean, really, you like to have what you want and what you need, right? Isn't that right, Ian? Like to have stuff, right, that you want, right? Well, I believe too many Christians struggle with that deny self idea. What in the world would cause us to choose to deny ourselves? I mean, it's not human nature, is it? To just naturally want to deny yourself. There's only one thing. Especially when we deny ourselves for the benefit of others. But there's only one thing that would cause us to want to deny ourselves for others. And that's love. You see, love makes you a giver. God's love. Amen. Not the love of the world has. Because the love the world has is selfish, isn't it? It says, if you'll do something, I'll love. If you'll perform a certain way or be a certain way or act a certain way, I'll love. No, it's God's love. God's love makes you a giver. That's the only thing that causes a person to sacrifice some of themselves for someone else. Jesus put it this way. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, we think of that, we hear that, and we think die. Now, there's more ways to lay down your life than just dying. That might be one way that you would lay down your life for someone. But there's all kinds of ways to die, to lay down your life for someone. You see, here's the point. Christians should be the most generous people on the earth. Amen. Christians should be the most generous people on the earth because they understand true living is not about gaining. True living is giving. Amen. You see, generosity requires good stewardship. Amen. The exercise of stewardship brings understanding that what we have has been delegated to us, not given to us, for our own personal benefit. But it's to be used to serve others as well. You see, God entrusts us in a lot of ways. And our faithfulness in small ways determines the level of increase God gives us to be stewards over. You see, God seeks faithful stewards, those with generous hearts. Faithful stewards, generous hearts. That's what God's seeking. When God finds someone with a generous heart, God knows He can entrust more to that person as distributors, as a distributor of His resources. And that's why God looks for good stewards, because good stewards will be good distributors of His resources. Here's what stewardship is. Stewardship is taking what you have. Doesn't matter how much, how little, how more. But taking what you have and being wise with it. And making it available. Even if what you have seems insignificant. God just wants to know if it's available. Reminds me of the widow with the two mites. As they went through and Jesus was watching them in the temple, and she came through and she dropped her two coins in. That was all she had. She was a good steward. God seeks faithful stewards. Amen. You see, everyone wants to prosper, right? At least economically, right? Well, some of you are honest. Most everybody wants to prosper economically, don't we? Financially. But here's prosperity. Prosperity means to flourish and be successful in everything. It's not just about money, although that's significant in the world we live in. But you can have prosperity in your work, in your school, in raising your kids. You can be prosperous in relationships. You can be prosperous in helping others, and on and on and on. There's a lot of ways to be prosperous. You see, God's purpose for prosperity is for us to be generous. Think of it this way. Prosperity defines what's coming in. Okay? Prosperity defines what's coming in. Generosity defines what's going out. See, the world needs both a prosperous church and a generous church. That's what the world needs today. Amen. God is not against prosperity. In fact, He desires His church to prosper. Amen. But the flow of prosperity is not a one-way street. It should flow in both directions. In and out. In and out. You know, some of this garbage, and pardon me for calling that, but that's what it is. Some of this garbage you see on some of these television stations, these Christian stations, and you listen to some of these preachers preaching about prosperity, man, it's heresy. It's all this, you know, give so you get. Give so you get. You know, God wants us to be good stewards. He wants us to be prosperous and generous. He wants us to be prosperous so we can be generous. But you can be generous in many ways. Again, don't just get parked on the money idea of this. That's not all it's about. You see, God looks at how we handle tangible things that we possess to determine if He can trust us with spiritual things, the true riches of heaven. Do you know what the true riches of heaven are? Sorry, teachers. Do you know what the true riches of heaven are? It's people. It's people. That's the true riches of heaven. And God entrusts them to us to be generous to draw them to Him, to help them come to know Him. He looks at how we handle money. He looks at how we treat people at work. He looks at how we act toward our family. How faithful we are at our jobs. Are we slothful or do we give it our all? And he looks at what we do when no one else is looking. And that's a big one. You see, if we're faithful in these natural things, then he can trust us with spiritual things like gifting, anointing, authority, discernment, and favor. And as our level of living increases, so should our level of giving increase. And I'll just say that again because that's good stuff. As our level of living increases, again, don't just think of it as economically, but as our level of living increases, as we're living deeper and stronger with God, as our level of living increases, our level of giving should also increase. And here's why. Giving is empowered by grace. Giving is empowered by grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Must be a lot of electronic devices in here. I don't hear any pages turning. Or you're turning quietly. It's okay to make noise. That's a good sound. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Right at the beginning. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, listen to this, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Liberality, you know what that is? Generosity. That's right. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with such urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And not only as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Let me tell you what was going on here. There was a famine in Judea, and Paul had come to the Macedonian churches and shared with them about the famine. He had informed the churches there about the crisis. And their response, even though they themselves were in need, their response was to give to help others. And not just giving, but out of their lack, with abundant joy, they gave to others. Now, that's a sign of the grace of God. That's nothing but the grace of God that would cause something like that to go on. It's the grace of God on those people's lives. You see, the grace of generosity should be as obvious as faith, as our talk, as our knowledge, and our actions. Being motivated by our love for God. Motivated by our love for God. You see, giving is a true demonstration of our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, right next door, beginning of verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Amen. This is talking about motive. Our motive in giving should be to bring blessings to others, not self. Our motive in giving should be to bring blessings to others, not just self. Now, like I said, that's some of that prosperity preaching you hear is nothing more than give to get. And that's not stewardship. That's not generosity. That's trying to play let's make a deal with God. And it doesn't wash with God. And our motive in giving should be to bring blessings to others. And this obviously runs counter to everything in our culture that we live in today. Only God's love can cause people to think this way that we're reading about these Macedonian churches and the ones in Corinth. You see, God is a giver. And so we should be also. God is a giver and we should be also. Why? Because we're called to be a reflections. We're called to be reflections of God. I really desire, and I know that He does. God desires to see His power and His glory fill churches as they assemble together in services. That His glory and His power will heal broken things in people as He moves among us. You see, true riches are not just cars, homes, or possessions, but also in things that money can't buy. True riches are where hearts and minds are transformed, souls are restored in an instant as a healing atmosphere is brought about by generous giving of time, of talent, of treasure, of prayers, and of worship in spirit and in truth. Dear God, let it be. Let it be here. You see, this is the environment in which He can freely just pour out true riches from heaven. You know, as you, verse 8 there in 2 Corinthians, it says, and God is able to make all what? All grace abound where? Toward you. He's able to dump His grace out on you, to make it abound toward you, so that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work, may have an abundance to be generous, to exercise generosity. You see, God wants our lives to be an overflow. That's what that means. He wants our lives to be an overflow because that's a true reflection of Him. We should see an abundant supply of wisdom, of peace, of joy, of health, of power, and mercy from us flowing to others. Others in need. And we should also see an abundant supply of financial and material things flowing in the same direction. In and out. In and out. See, people need to hear those eight words that we've talked about. What's those eight words that we talked about? What is it? Jesus loves you and cares about your life. People need to hear those eight words. But listen to me. They don't need us to just tell them. They need us to show them that Jesus cares. You see, people hear, listen to this. People hear what we say, but they pay attention to what we do. You know, it kills me to see Christians go into a restaurant and eat a decent meal and leave a witnessing tract with a $2 tip on the table. Really? Well, the only message that the server gets in that situation is that you're a selfish tightwad. It's true. Is that the reflection of Jesus you want people to see? No, look at that server with generous eyes. If you tell them Jesus cares about them, then show them that you care about them too. And they'll probably be more likely to believe it. Too many Christians forget that there's a practical side to evangelism, to reaching people. Talk to missionaries. Most of them will tell you, when people's practical needs are met, food, water, and shelter, then they're put in a position and more open to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, when someone is distended with hunger or dying from thirst, just telling them Jesus loves them doesn't go very far. People in need can taste the goodness of God in a blanket, in a bowl of soup, a cup of water, or shelter over their head. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 24. Still here? Okay. Verse 24, Proverbs 11. There's one who scatters, throws it out there, yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Another version says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You see, generous eyes, I want you to get this. Generous eyes comes from a generous heart. A generous heart comes from a generous God. You don't grow your own generous heart. It comes from God. Now, this kind of generosity is compassionate and it's selfless. A generous heart, listen to me, a generous heart is a reflection of God's heart. And if the two greatest commandments are to love God and love people, then we have to have a heart for God and a heart for people. Two things are eternal, God and people. If we love one, we'll love the other. And when we love them both, we'll be looking through generous eyes. Worship team, would you come up? I want us to take just a minute to pray. And as we do, I have a question I want you to ask God. As the worship team's coming up, let's just bow our heads. Don't focus on them, focus on God. And here's what I want you to ask the Lord right now. And I want you to just wait for His answer. Because it doesn't matter what I think or believe or whatever. It's what He thinks. As you're praying right now, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, am I a generous person? Lord, am I a generous person? And you just sit and wait for the answer. God, you have a way of pouring out your grace on us. Sometimes we don't really see it, recognize it. Sometimes we don't steward it well. God, by nature, we're selfish. We're self-centered. God, by your Spirit and through your grace, we can be generous. So, Lord, I pray today that you would pour out that grace of generosity. Pour out that spirit of selflessness. Transform us. Change us. Help us slay the old nature and thrive in the new nature. Thrive in the spiritual nature that you pour into us, that you desire for us to have. God, help us to love you. Love you so deeply that your grace enables us to love others the same. And in so doing that, we're sowing for you, we're sowing for others. Thank you, Lord, that you're a generous God. You're a merciful God. You're a graceful God. We pray that you just infuse us, your Spirit, with those things that are of you. In Jesus' name. We're going to do something. It's Thanksgiving's coming up next week. And for many, it's just another holiday. Time to splurge and eat till we're sick and eat some more after we're sick. But I want us to look at it from a different perspective. I want us to look at it from the perspective of Thanksgiving. I want us to think about today what you're really thankful for. Think about what you're really thankful for. And let's just share it with each other. I need an usher in each aisle. Could I have an usher in each aisle? Just one usher here and one usher here. So they're going to bring you this mic. If you'll just raise your hand and stand as you're led. And let's just share what you're thankful about this morning. Something that you're truly thankful about. Right there.
I'm thankful for God and family and being brought here to Heartcry.
Let's see if I can get through this. I'm so grateful for so many things. I can't just say one thing. I'm very grateful. God's in my heart more than anything, that He makes me and allows me to feel His love and how I can love my family even deeper. I'm so thankful for my wonderful husband. Thankful for a grandchild on the way, my first one. My kids, just abundant life. He's wonderful.
I'm thankful for all the friends that I have, and I'm also thankful for my wife, who's been pretty good to me over the years. And I'm thankful for the help that I still have. Thank you.
Come here.
I'm thankful for the renewing of a strained relationship with my son. I'm also thankful allows me and shows me daily for forgiveness for my ex-husband. And I thank him for allowing me to pray for him. And I thank God to allow me to put a zipper on my lip when my children talk of and about him, and to not say anything or say something positive. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord has given me these attributes, because without him I would not have them.
I'm thankful for having a grandmother and a mother who are prayer warriors.
Well, I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for my husband. He is faithful. He is awesome. And I am thankful for my new friends. I'm thankful for Lisa. We met at exercise. And I'm thankful for all of you. And I pray that you have a Thanksgiving that is full of grace and peace, and that you are safe if you're traveling, and that God will bless you immensely. And I wanted to say before I forget that I'm thankful for Bernadette, that she's here this morning. I love her, and she travels to come here, and I praise God for her. And I love you all, and I pray that you have an awesome and blessed Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful for my family and all my friends, and I have a lot of prayers for my relatives who are not with us today. Thank you, God.
I'd just like to say that I'm thankful for being able to come to Heartcry without being judged. I'm thankful for my pastors, especially Pastor Bill, for helping me out, and thankful for my family.
That you know, sometimes the things that we go through that we think are the lowest we can go, the worst things in our lives, can actually turn into some of the greatest blessings. Went through a battle for probably more than half my life and struggled with some pretty dark things, and always wondered where the light was at the end of the tunnel for me. And God, over this last year, has brought things full circle for me. And I understand things better now. And just healing, just being able to know the reasons behind things, and that he does bring us through trials sometimes. They may seem long, it may seem like they're never going to end. But then when you do come through that other side, it's so beautiful. And to think he might not have been there for a long time, but to know he really was there the whole time, just orchestrating this beautiful story, it's just, I'm so thankful.
Amen. I thank the Lord for so many things. And most of all, God, I thank you for being you. There's so much, Lord, we have to be thankful for. Lord, I thank you for these testimonies. How encouraging and how enlightening it is to hear from your body that people can say and stand up and tell what, Lord, you've done in their lives, in my life. We all have ups and downs, trials and tribulations, and people have failed us in so many ways. But God, you're faithful, you're true, and you're someone we can come to in all situations in life. And I thank you for that, Lord. Give us all a great time, Father, during these days of Thanksgiving. And help us, Lord, help us to be a better people. And fall on you, Father, when we need you. Thank you, Lord.
My name is it. My name is Carolyn. I am 36 years old. I am so glad to slip him up.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie.
I wanted to first say I'm definitely thankful for the Lord in my life. And I'm just thankful to hear all these praises. And I'm thankful that, you know, I get to prayer works and that the Lord is faithful. Thank you. I'm thankful for forgiveness in my family to come together despite their hurt or their hate, but just be there and support one another. I'm thankful for the children in Kids Corral who come and they share and they open their hearts, whether they're struggling or they're happy. I thank you that I'm able to love them and show them love like the Lord has loved me. I'm thankful for my children who, despite the constant love, challenges, and struggles, when they get it, it makes my heart so happy. I'm thankful for Pastor Leonard that he is just as real, and Pastor Bill on Sunday as he is Monday through Thursday when I'm working with him. Thankful when I run into people at the grocery store or Walmart and they don't turn and they welcome and they talk and we just can be real. I'm just thankful for the opportunities that I get every single day just to give a hug, to say hi, to say hello. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And each of you are so blessed. And, you know, it's not about the food and it's not about the whatever. It's just maybe there's somebody that we are not in good standing with and that just needs to be loved. Maybe we need to invite somebody who we know is struggling and doesn't have a place to go or a family member. It's just reaching out and giving our time and giving our heart and forgiving and just loving those, just like he's done for us. So I'm just thankful for him.
Oh, good.
Don't give that back to her. Take that, Dee.
This church. I've been here for a while and we've been through a lot of change, and I'm just thankful that we've stayed real and we have amazing pastors, and I'm thankful for my family because they're my number one supporters and fans.
God, that he so chose to love me and everyone in such a fashion that there's no fear. He rescued me and delivered me from myself in places and ways that I never could. Even though I tried, it's all him. He delivers and he rescues, and I'm very grateful for how he just has picked me up out of the muck and mire and Amen. Set my feet firmly upon a rock.
Amen.
And he continues to heal and wash me daily.
Amen. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. May your hearts be full of thankfulness and gratitude to the God that's all sufficient. He loves me in spite of myself. He's building me to be more like him.
And I just thank you that his glory shines throughout the world. And that he so greatly loves us. Praise to him. Amen.
I'm so thankful that growing up, I had a prayer warrior for a mother. Through the years, she never gave up. And I'm so thankful for that. For today, I serve a great Savior. He saved my soul and set my feet on a solid rock to where I can walk today and not have no fear and have a peace that's beyond all understanding. And I'm so thankful for my family that I failed through life of raising them in certain ways. But today, I serve him in a different way. And I'm hopefully and prayerful for my family that I can live daily to be an example for them as Jesus is for us today. And I'm so thankful for this church and for our pastors and the people that are here each and every Sunday, as Christina said, out in the public, that we live the life every day, not just a day in the church. And we're on a journey serving God, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
I'm very thankful for a group of people we have here who have very generous hearts, and for my friend Donna and Karen and Jordan and Jalen and Coach Foster, who have the gift of working with people with special needs, and they just do it so well that others notice. And I just think that's really awesome.
I'm really thankful for everything that I have, a family, wonderful two sisters and friends that I have, and I'm so thankful for my Nana, who wakes up very early in the morning to come all the way from Kenansville over here to St. Cloud, well, Kissimmee, and wakes up us for church. And you know, I'm just very happy that I have her in my life, and I'm thankful for my school and all the people I have, and that God made me chaplain of the school, and that I can teach His word to everyone, and it just, gave me the knowledge and the wisdom to do all that. And even though I'm young, I feel like I can, you know, tell everyone about him. I'm just so thankful that I have him in my life. And yeah, just praise him. He's awesome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for our young people, God.
I do want to say this. I'm thankful for our praise team, because you know when we get to heaven, we're going to be praising the Lord all the time, and I am real thankful for our praise team.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you, Leonard. I'm very thankful for you. Thank you for staying on my back like you did to come to church, because if it wasn't for you, I would probably still be fighting the battles that I was fighting every day of my life. I'm very thankful for Jesus, because not only has he saved my life, but he saved my marriage, and just a lot. There's a lot of stuff in me that's broken, and I'm okay with most of it now. I'm still working on the few that bothers me, but
I never thought that I would be so full of peace like I am now. And I wish everybody could feel the love that I feel, because it's amazing. And thank you, Leonard. I love you. And I love all of you guys. And I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
one right back here in the middle. You can stand up, Jeanette, so he can see you.
I'm really thankful for the Wednesday night life group here at the church. It really refreshes me, and they've been praying for my mom who's sick, and I really felt like that's what she needs, and I'm really happy that she's home and we can spend Thanksgiving with her, and I really appreciate those prayers on Wednesday nights. It just refreshes me during the week, and I'm very thankful that God's let me be a wife and a mom and serve him in that.
You guys are a part of this too if you have something you want to say. I just want to say I'm thankful that God saved me. Changed my life. Thankful for my wife and what we've been through all the years, and how God has helped us and sustained us and changed us. I'm thankful that I get to share Jesus with people every day. We have that opportunity, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for every person sitting here today, and those that aren't here that are normally here. I'm just thankful for this time and this place that we have together. And I'm thankful for the Savior that we have that's available to every person who just reaches out to him and receives him. So thank you for sharing this morning. I think we're all a little bit more thankful just from the testimonies we've heard. I know I am. So ushers, if you will come and prepare to receive the tithes and the offerings this morning. A couple things I want to, we're going to go right into our family meeting right now, because it's going to be the briefest family meeting in the history of our church. Because I don't have a lot to say, but I do have something to share with you that you need to be aware of, and something that I want us to be in prayer about, and especially as we prepare to go in our prayer and fasting time at the first of the year. But we started out 11 years ago in a livestock pavilion just down the road at Heritage Park at the Kissimmee Valley Livestock Pavilion. We were there a year and a half or so, and then we moved over to the school here, the Zenith School, for a little while. And then as this building was being built, we negotiated a lease on this building. We've been here since then. But our lease is up in June, and we have informed our landlords that we won't be renewing the lease. And we need to be looking at kind of what we talked about today, doing the best we can to be good stewards of what God blesses us with. And We need to downsize some as far as facilities go. And so we're looking. We don't have a place right now. So you can be praying about that. We have several things that we're looking into and looking at. But this is something this is not new for a lot of you. Some of you that are new with us in the last year or so might be. But we've had 3 years ago, we had plans to be out of this building in 3 years anyway. And that was our three-year plan. And so we're looking, we're praying, and asking God to provide where he wants us to relocate to. But the truth is, if you pay attention to the bulletins and all, we meet our budget, but we're just meeting budget, and it's a bare-bones budget. You know, I talked about generosity with us and helping others. And since this church began, we have always sown into missions around the world and locally and around the nation here and internationally around the globe. And so at the beginning of the year, we had to cut that out. And I just believe it's God's heart and it's what He has shown me as the pastor of this church that we need to get back to sowing in a generous way into missions around the world, locally, and other places. And so if that means being better stewards of our facilities and letting go of something that's very nice and comfy, it's been good to us for a lot of years, and in order for us to adjust our budget so we can do that, then we need to be obedient and do that. And if we honor Him and His direction and be obedient to Him, He'll honor us and provide for us. And I really believe that. And I believe, I'm thankful that I'm learning to be obedient to Him immediately. Amen. And not until He has to whip me 3 or 4 times. I grew up, I had to be whipped 3 or 4 times to get it. And God's whippings are a lot worse than those were. But, you know, it's an exciting time. And I'm excited about what He's got for us. I told Pastor Bill the other day, I said, kind of feel like Moses. He said, go, but he hadn't said where yet. But you know what? That's God. Amen. And God knows what His plan is for us. And so it's a new day, a new season. And it's exciting to me. And I hope it's exciting to you. But here's what I want you to do, to commit to. Commit to prayer and fasting. Fast one meal, one day a week, whatever God calls you to do. I'm not going to decide that for you. But pray and fast for our direction in relocating, okay? Because we want to hear from God on that. Amen? Does anyone have any questions since this is a family meeting? It's okay to ask questions. I may not have the answer, but I'll try. Any questions? Just don't ask where are we going, because I don't know. Okay? Are we good? Everybody got that? All right. Surrender service next week. Surrender service is kind of like what we did during our Thanksgiving time. It's just a time to hear from God and speak what He speaks and to worship Him. And so it's a sweet time. So I want to encourage you to be a part of our Wednesday night surrender service and on November 30th after Thanksgiving. And volunteer thing is coming up, volunteer dinner. There's information in the bulletin. And one thing, other thing that's real important, speaking of generosity, our ornament tree is up at the back there, and there's ornaments on there. And there's ornaments that you can take and purchase whatever's on that ornament and bring it back. And between now and I think it's the second week of December, we'll be collecting. Also, the toy box is back there. I saw a few toys coming in today. We're working on our Christmas party at Hopkins Park. We want everybody to be a part of that. We've got a team meeting for those that are going to help lead the team over in the Student Center right after this, and it will be brief too, but we need to be moving out of here so CASA can come in and begin to prepare for their service. But be praying about that and ask God to show you what He wants to do. And you can take more than one ornament, you know, or whatever God shows you to do, okay? Yes. Let's be a blessing to people, okay? God bless you. Thank you. You're a blessing to me.